Dear Lord Jesus, please help us to listen, to understand, to believe what you say to us, and to do what you tell us. Amen. A long time ago, I used to be a teacher, and I was very strict. And I had a child that I used to teach whose name was Murray. And when Murray grew up, he decided he wanted to write, and he used to write plays. And David and I are going to perform one for you right now. Now, we have rehearsed this once. So please forgive what you see.
Or hear. Matthew's Gospel.
Chapter 25.
Verse 14.
The parable of the talons.
Da-da-da.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll read that again. This should be the parable of the talents.
Begin again.
Matthew 25.
Verse 14.
Jesus told a story.
About a man.
Who had
three servants called
Fred,
Ted,
and Julian Potterton Brown.
Now Ted was smarter than Fred.
But Fred was stronger than Ted.
Fred often said,
I don't have Ted's head.
I manage with muscles instead.
Julian Potterton Brown
was the odd one out.
But he didn't mind.
I'm frightfully well bred,
he said.
I'm greasier than Ted,
he said.
I'm lazier than Fred,
he said.
And I don't rhyme with either of them.
The creeps.
One day, their boss summoned them.
To his office.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
It's Fred, Ted, and the other fellow.
Come in.
Now listen, you three.
Fred, Ted, and Julian, what's your name?
Potterton Brown.
Granted.
Before I go away on my journey,
I wish to lend you each some money.
You're to use it
wisely.
Form a queue.
Five talents for you, Fred.
Two talents for you, Ted.
And one talent for you.
So the boss waved goodbye.
Took his toothbrush.
Took his hat.
Took his coat.
And took his leave.
Now Fred had £5,000 to use wisely.
Ted had £2,000.
And Julian Potterton Brown had £1,000.
Fred had a flair for gardening and fancied growing vegetables.
Ted had a flair for marketing and fancied his chances in business.
Julian Potterton Brown had flares and fancied himself.
Fred rolled up his sleeves.
And blew the lot on a spade.
A shed.
A hosepipe.
And a pair of wellies.
And some plants.
And a bit of land.
Ted surveyed the market carefully.
Picked his moment.
And blew his money on
20 second-hand camels.
Julian Potterton Brown was sensible.
Wise.
And cautious.
He considered all the problems.
And the dangers that lay ahead.
He thought hard.
He planned carefully.
And after all that, he did
nothing.
He took the talent.
Wrapped it in a silk handkerchief.
And hid it in a hole.
In the ground.
After a few years.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The boss.
The boss?
Quick, quick. Form a queue.
The boss came in.
And called each man.
To tell him.
What he'd done with the money.
That had been
entrusted to him.
Who's first?
Me, said Fred.
It's not as much as I'd hoped for.
Cabbages got frostbitten. Potatoes got the blight.
But I've doubled the money.
Here are 10 talents.
Never mind the cabbages.
Said the boss.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Come and share my happiness.
Next.
It's me, said Ted.
Yeah, well, I bought second-hand camels.
Did them up a bit, sold a few, crashed a few.
But you can't win them all.
I've doubled the money.
Here are 4 talents.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Come and share my happiness.
Next.
Boss, knowing you to be a hard man,
etc., etc., etc.,
blah, 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 reaping where you did not sow,
blah, 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 harvesting where you did
blah,
not,
blah, blah, ploughing so where on. You did not,
and so on,
and so forth.
I was afraid and hid the money.
In a handkerchief, in a hole in the ground.
I remain your obedient servant, Julian Potterton Brown.
You did what?
You did nothing.
You're all talk.
You've made nothing out of what I lent you.
Right. Take away his talent and give it to Fred.
And take this wicked servant.
Right out of my sight.
Let's have a bit of...
weeping and gnashing of teeth.
So don't be foolish.
Put everything God has given you to good use.
For one day the Lord Jesus will return.
And we will each have to give an account of our life.
To him.
Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. Now, I am wondering what is the nicest thing anyone can ever say to you. Well, they did what's called a survey. People went round asking other people, what's the nicest thing people could say to you? And the first thing on the list was, I love you. That's a great one, isn't it? Yeah, that's a great one. I love you. The second one on the list was, I forgive you. That's a good one as well. It's nice to feel that you're forgiven when you know you've done something wrong. Now, the third one on the list was, wait for it, supper's ready. Actually, that is a beautiful little picture of Christianity. God loves us, God forgives us, God invites us to his banquet. Isn't that beautiful? But I wonder what might be the most awkward and nasty questions you might get asked. So here's the first one that occurred to me. This wasn't a survey. Have you done your homework? Here's the second one. Have you cleaned your teeth? And here's the third one. And I just wonder whether somebody asked this question this morning. Are you ready yet? I suspect one or two people may have had that question. Always just something you've got to do at the last minute. Now, we are in what's called the season of Advent, which is why we've got our candles here. And Advent is all about thinking about the future. And one of the questions we need to ask ourselves in Advent is this: are you ready yet? Now, of course, there are some people who say, well, no, we're not ready for Christmas. Oh, my goodness me, there's such a lot to get done before Christmas. That's what the grown-ups say anyway. But that's really not what the question's about. The question is about this. Are you ready for something even bigger than Christmas? Even bigger. You see, in our little story that David and I read to you, Fred and Ted were ready for the boss's return. Julian Potterton Brown, isn't that a super name to have? Would you like to be Julian Potterton Brown? You wouldn't. Oh, well, never mind. Julian Potterton Brown wasn't ready. Now, the boss is a picture to us of the Lord Jesus himself. And one of the things that Christians believe is that the Lord Jesus is going to come back. We remember his first coming at the first Christmas, but the bigger thing that's going to happen is that he's going to come back and we shall see him as he is. Do you know that if you read all the words that Jesus spoke, if you go into the New Testament and you read the Gospels and you read what Jesus talked about, he said more about his coming back than pretty well any other subject. That's why Christians believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And if he's going to come back, we need to be ready. Not like Julian Potterton Brown, who wasn't ready, who'd wasted the good things that he'd been given, but like Fred and Ted, who were ready and had made good use of the things that they'd been given. So Jesus says to us at this Advent time, keep awake, be alert, watch, be ready. You do not know when I am going to return. Let's say a prayer together. We'll bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have promised to come back, and we shall see you as you really are. Please help us to be ready for when you come, and looking forward to it, for your name's sake. Amen.